Let us pray. For this beautiful spring day, Lord, for life feeling a little bit more normal each day, we give you thanks. For friends and family that see us on our good days and our bad days and love us anyway. For you, Lord, who knows all about us, loves us, and forgives us. For clean slates, fresh starts, and second chances. Help us to take the unending grace and forgiveness you shower upon us and share it with those around us. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the past few Sundays, we've been following the story of Jesus and what happened on those first days immediately following his crucifixion. His followers are in shock, despondent, distraught. What happened? We were so certain that he was the one sent to save us. We believed in him. Were we wrong? But he's dead. It's over. Now what? And then Jesus comes to them in the flesh. Peace be with you, he says. Why are you so frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look, it's me. Look at my hands and my feet. Go ahead, touch me and see. I am not a ghost. I am flesh and bones. Have you anything here to eat? Look, I'm eating fish. Everything happened exactly how it was supposed to. And you were here with me. You witnessed it all. And after all that we have been through together, now what? What's next? Forgiveness, Jesus said. It's time for us to spread the news. Repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in all nations, in his name. God forgives us, and so we must now forgive others. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things that God asks us to do, perhaps even the most difficult thing. For some reason, we think that if we forgive, we're saying that what the person did to us was okay. It feels like by forgiving, the person who harmed us gets to go on living their life just as they want to, carefree and smiling away while we're stuck with the pain. It feels like forgiving or turning the other cheek gives them a pass to go on hurting others while we simply go on suffering. This morning, we're going to take a look at why God wants us to forgive. We forgive for our sake, for Jesus' sake. Have you ever gotten yourself in a situation where you're tempted to relive your glory days, where you're still thinking that you can do what you have always done, when your mind's making promises your body can't fill? Well, that happened to me last summer. It was the perfect, beautiful summer day on Bay Lake. Three generations of family were goofing off and having fun. Kids were swimming, dads were throwing sticks for dogs to fetch, teenaged girls were tanning on the dock, young guys in boats were driving by to wave at the teenage girls who were tanning on the dock, and grandma was yelling down from the cabin, "Who wants lunch?" Life was perfect. And then my little brother jumps into the boat and yells, "Who wants to ski?" Skiing, I thought, but I'm all warm and lazy, soaking up the sun and reading People magazine. I looked around for a good excuse and found none. The lake was like glass. It was a perfect 75 degrees. The water was warm and the boat was ready. My sister-in-law said, "I'll go if you go." Dang. Now, I'm a little nervous because the big boat's in the shop. So Mike's driving a fishing boat with a 50-horsepower two-stroke Evinrude. That's about this big. But here's the thing about challenges. I can't turn them down. If you bet me that I can't do something, I'll work night and day to prove to you that I can. So I agree. Leslie goes first. Her 120 pounds pop right up out of the water. She does a perfect loop, elegantly slides into the shore, hands me the cold, soaking wet vest, and says, "Your turn." Drats. My little brother throws me two skis from the boat. I, of course, refuse them, stubbornly insisting on getting up in one because I've always gotten up on one. So I get my first ski under me, say a prayer, and timidly yell, "Hit it!" Let's just say that what followed was not pretty. Arms over my head, ski wobbling, face nearly fully underwater as I dragged 100 feet until the rope was finally pulled from my purple clenched fists. I nearly drowned myself in my unwillingness to let go. So you'd presume I called it a day, right? Grabbed the second ski and got on with it? No. Because of my unwillingness to let go, I went through the same exact torture again and again until I finally got up on my fourth try. And all the while, each time the boat circled around, my little brother is laughing so hard at my stubbornness, taunting me with the second ski in his hand, that he's purple and snorting. It strikes me that this is the perfect analogy for hanging on to bitterness and anger and resentment, the exact things that our risen Savior wants us to let go of. In our unwillingness to let go, we only harm ourselves. The majority of the time, the person who hurt us is long since moved on. They may not even be aware that they hurt us, or if they are, they're certainly not wasting their life thinking about us. We are the ones carrying the pain. We forgive for our sake, for Jesus' sake. Forgiveness is written about some 133 times in the Bible. Not 10 or 20 or even 30, but 133 times. That is how important it is to God. And rarely is forgiveness connected to the other, but nearly always about God forgiving us. From the Gospel of Mark. When you pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Luke 6. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. From the Gospel of Matthew. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your sins. Do you sense a theme? Hating someone, harboring resentment, robs us of time and energy. Sitting in judgment and keeping tallies of how we have been wronged allows that person to continue to intrude on our life. You know that feeling when you walk into a room knowing the trespasser will be there and you do everything possible to avoid them? When you can't even be present or enjoy the others in the room because you know that they are there? That is the pain that is taking up your life. It's not worth it. Let go or be dragged. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another, and if anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other, just as Christ has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And if you really stop and think about it, most of life's perceived wrongdoings really are small. When we feel unappreciated or unloved, we are vulnerable to feeling wronged. If we stop and think about it, most of our perceived injustices are simply not worth wasting another moment of our life over. Really, they're not. But what if it's a huge hurt? What if someone has harmed you or your child in unimaginable, unspeakable ways? What then? That's when we fall on our knees before God and beg to have the pain removed. And yet still, we must find it in our heart to forgive, for our sake, for the sake of our loved one, and for our whole family. God knows this pain more than any other, because God's been there. From the Gospel of Luke. As our Lord and Savior hung from the cross dying, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus forgave for our sake. Academy Award-nominated Philomena tells the real-life story of a woman who forgave the unimaginable. Judi Dench plays a woman whose little boy was taken from her, and when he did, was just a toddler, never to be seen or to be heard from again. She didn't even get to hug him goodbye. Yet somehow she manages to fill her life with joy, finding happiness in the simplest of things, books and TV and smiles and laughter and people. One day she enlists a journalist to help her find her long-lost son. And while he appears to have had no real problems in life, he is arrogant and bitter and condescending. When they finally come face to face with the woman who stole her son, Philomena looks her straight in the eye and says, "I forgive you." Aghast, the journalist asks, "Are you kidding? How can you possibly forgive her that easily?" Philomena stammers, "It wasn't easy at all." "Then why did you do it?" he demands. Philomena quietly responds, "Because I don't want to waste my life being bitter like you." One day soon, in the blink of an eye, we'll all be standing at the pearly gates. God will be greeting us with open arms. "My child, you've come home. What did you think of the life that I gave you? Did you notice the sun rises and the sun sets? Did you see the trees and the lake and feel the ocean breeze? And the babies, did you see the babies? And the music and the Ferris wheels and the ice cream cones? How about all those people that I gave to you to love? Did you enjoy your one life, my child?" I want to look God in the eye on that glorious day and say, "Yes, Lord, I did. Your gift was beyond measure." Not falling on my knees in sorrow and shame that I spent many a day harboring resentment and anger, refusing to forgive. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. We've been given this one life as a precious gift from God. Don't let yesterday use up too much of today, hanging so tightly onto that rope that you nearly drown. Turn it over to God. Let go or be dragged. Alleluia. He is risen. Amen.